Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Boy, there's a lot going on in the media and the press these days, but you know what? I'm not going to touch any of that. We're going to stay laser focused today on our real estate business, and in fact, for today's show, I've got a very targeted focus. It's a topical show, and I want to be laser focused on appraisals. Very important part, very key part of most, maybe not all, but most real estate transactions. Okay, we'll take a look at when the appraisal comes into play for which types of transactions and buyers, perhaps. And we'll talk about a few types of appraisals. There are different types, right? We use a couple of those types of appraisals as part of the Lifestyles Unlimited model. We'll kind of look at that, how that fits together as well. And then I want to talk about some of the common adjustments that an appraiser makes and why you shouldn't just use the average square foot, price per square foot for your subdivision, your area, your market, your town, your city, whatever you're looking at. There's some risk there. And I've got some very concrete numbers that I think will drive that point home. And then finally, I want to talk about how you handle the appraisal process as an investor. Should you go out and meet that guy or gal, that appraiser? And what can you do to maybe nudge them just a little bit in the right direction? So, hey, if you've caught any of the past, more recent shows, you know, I've been talking about having a cash out refi in the works. We've done a number of these over the past year, basically tapping into the equity in our older portfolio, right? So this house that we're about to do the cash out refi on, we bought back in 2014. Didn't have a whole lot of equity when we started, but it was in a good area and it has appreciated a ton. Have had the same resident in place since day one. Rents have eased on up a little bit as well because it's in a great location. And we're finally going to tap in to that equity. So that's what's fresh on my mind. And I'll be going out this very week to meet that appraiser to find out the new value, right? The lender that's going to give us the cash out refi, they obviously want to know the value as well. So that's part of the focus for me on appraisals with you today. And I am back in Dallas-Fort Worth. If you caught the last couple of shows, I was bumbling around Texas with my family in the RV bunker. Enjoyed the great state of Texas and the state parks out there. The last park we visited was Mission Tejas State Park. It's a good thing I didn't plan to do the show there because we had no reception. So better part of a week, no cell service, no internet, nothing. It was so quiet in the Piney Woods just north of Davy Crockett National Forest. Beautiful park, lots of hiking. I loved it, but we're back. And I've got that appraisal coming up, so let's talk about appraisals. So when do we get an appraisal? First of all, let's just kind of start with some basics. And obviously, if you're buying a property with a loan, that lender's going to want to know the value. They are going to order an appraiser. That's simply how it works. Okay. If you're buying all cash, you don't have to get an appraisal. Why are you buying all cash? That's a bad idea from the get-go, and we've done a number of shows on that. I won't get into that today. But if you're buying with a loan, if you're purchasing a property with a loan, hard money, or straight conventional, you're going to need an appraisal. If you're selling a house, you may not need an appraisal, but odds are pretty good your buyer is going to have a lender involved and will be ordering an appraisal. Should you go out and meet with that appraiser? You can. We'll talk about that. Rate and term refinances, that's part of our process here at Lifestyles. We'll talk about that as well. Appraiser's going to get involved there. And as well, what I'm going through right now, that cash out refinance. So those are typically situations where you're going to order an appraisal. If you want to do something a little more informal, we'll talk about CMAs and things that your realtor can help you with. But it's not quite the same as an appraisal. Now, what do we do at Lifestyles Unlimited? I mentioned the model and how an appraisal ties in there for us. Well, let me just kind of outline the model that we use when we're buying typically, right? Not always, but most commonly we're buying with hard money, and we are buying with hard money because the property that we are purchasing, something's distressed there. Either the property itself needs so much work or enough work that it will not qualify for a conventional loan, so we have to buy some other way. Hard money is a great way to go. Now, when you buy with hard money, you're going to need an appraisal. By the way, the property may be great. The seller may be distressed and in a hurry. They're having a fire sale because they're headed to the county courthouse for a foreclosure, right? Well, we know those are on hold through the end of the year for the most part, but in a normal environment, sellers are in a hurry because they've waited too long. They're under the hammer. We got to get this thing going. Great time to use hard money. In either case, we're going to get an appraisal. Not all hard money lenders will require an appraisal. I like to get one. It's part of my due diligence. I like to work with hard money lenders that do that as well. You know, I think those guys that are maybe not requiring that appraisal, maybe flying a little bit by the seat of their pants, saves you a little bit of money, I suppose. But again, I like to get that feedback from the appraiser. In fact, I've done an appraisal where the hard money appraiser said, you know what, Andy, I'm looking at your scope of work here. If you did this and this and this a little bit differently, your value is going to come in higher. I said, I like it. I got that feedback. Part of my team right there, essentially, in that sense. So we're buying with hard money, getting that loan based on the expected value of the property when it's fixed up, right? Maybe 70% of that, what we call after repair value, maybe 75. A lot of lenders have become a little more conservative at the moment. I've seen it as high as 80%. We get the property, we do those renovations. We try to get the property rented during the renovations if we can, maybe a little bit after. And then we do our refinance. And at this point, we're typically doing a rate and term refinance because we've been in that hard money loan for such a short period of time that we're not seasoned. We can't actually do a cash out refi at that point, but we're going to do a refi. Our lender, well, they're going to order an appraisal. So right there, we've already gotten two appraisals in a very short period of time. And for me, typically at this point, when I'm doing a refi, it's at 75% of that loan. So loan to value. You know, again, appraisals are going to come into play at different times. And if you're following the Lifestyles model, I just want you to digest that a little bit. You're going to get two in short succession, one at the hard money purchase. And then again, when you do that rate and term refi. Now, when we come back, we're going to head into a quick break here. Stick around because we're going to talk about the different types of appraisals. I want you to come away with a little bit better understanding of some of the lingo, the jargon that goes into this. And then we'll shift gears and talk about those per square foot value. Stay tuned.
Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Today on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, we are talking about appraisals, the appraisal process. Who is that appraiser? We'll talk just quickly about that. And why do you want to have one done? And what goes into that? That's the big question, right? Because they're establishing the value based upon which your lender lends you the money, whether it's 70, 80, 90%, whatever that percentage is, you need to fix the value in order to determine that loan amount. And that drives a lot of what we do, right? Cash out of pocket, cash in the deal, et cetera. If you've got questions today, the number here is 855-497-4335. Again, that's 855-497-4335. Or send me an email, askandy@luinc.com. Again, that is askandy@luinc.com. And I'm back on terra firma in the Dallas-Fort Worth area getting ready to meet an appraiser myself this coming week. If you missed the earlier part of the show, I mentioned that we're in the process now of doing a cash-out refi on one of our homes. We've watched the equity build up over the years. It's really spiked over there where this house sits, and it's just time to leverage that, to re-leverage that, I should say. We were in the 30-year loan. We've paid down about 6 years of it now, taken rents up in the meantime, continued to protest those property taxes, actually had a lot of success here in this particular area. So our cash flow is great. So it's a good time to tap into that, re-leverage, improve that return on equity. That's your cash flow divided by your equity. That goes down every year as your equity grows. And at some point, you want to re-leverage to improve that particular KPI. It's one of the things that I like to look at. And again, as part of that process, we're going to have an appraiser out this week. So just so you know, if you're in Texas, if you're listening in Texas or investing in Texas, the appraisers here in this state, they are regulated. And in fact, they're regulated by the Texas Appraiser Licensing and Certification Board. It's a sister organization to TREC, which is the Texas Real Estate Commission. And they, you know, set certain standards like minimum number of apprenticeship hours, right? An appraiser has to work under another appraiser for a period of time. I forget that it's quite a long time actually, to get that skill set, to get that knowledge, and ongoing. They have to, just like I do as a realtor, they have to continue with their education, a certain number of what they call CE credits every year. So you're working with very, very knowledgeable, sophisticated people when it comes to what they're doing. And whether you're using hard money or doing a refinance, rate and term, or cash out, whatever it may be, maybe you're just buying, the appraisers that you use, they're going to be these licensed guys, whether you're hard money or not. And I mention that because hard money, you may not know this, it's not actually a regulated industry, okay? They don't have to get an appraisal done. Some don't, right? They can use the appraisers that they want. Right. If you think about that compared to, say, what I'll describe as a more retail transaction, you're going out to buy your personal home, or maybe you're selling it to somebody, you know, selling a rental or your own home to somebody else, and a lender's involved. That lender, well, that retail transaction is a little bit more regulated, and there are, you know, more restrictions put in place, especially after the housing crisis, right? And since then, 2008, what happens is a lot of lenders will use what's called an AMC. You may see that term, that acronym. It's an appraisal management company, and they're kind of the middleman that's in place to make sure that they have well-qualified appraisers out there doing the appraisal for you. Lenders do not have to use them, but they then would have to qualify those appraisers themselves. So they just outsource it most of the time. And what does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? Well, it adds a bit more time because there is a middleman. When that appraiser is done with his process or her process, they send that appraisal over to that AMC and they basically take a look at it. I've had it happen where they've sent it back to the appraiser for some sort of an adjustment. Maybe something's missing. It is a qualifying, it's a uniform form. I don't care which appraiser you use. If you look at their appraisals, they're typically going to pretty much be in the same format now, again, following 2008. So a little bit more time involved. And of course, anytime you get a middleman involved, a little bit more cost. In fact, I went back and looked at my invoices from the sundry appraisals I've done over the years, and the difference, the spread between the hard money appraisal, where there is no AMC typically, and the retail appraisal, I'll call it, it's a couple $100. Okay, so, you know, transaction costs, that's just part of cost of doing business. That's okay. Now, let's talk about the type of appraisals that are, you know, that these guys are out there doing in the field. There are actually three approaches to determining value. Okay, first of all, cost approach. We don't use that for single family, and I'm focused primarily on single family today in this discussion, but the cost approach, they look at what would it cost to build this exact property, right? To acquire the land, the materials, the labor to put that material together, and so on. Typically, that's going to be used by insurance because they want to know if your house burns down, what's it going to cost to rebuild it? They're going to use the cost approach. We're not going to use that one. Second approach is the income approach, again for single family, not typically used. Now, multifamily, and we're not going to go into great detail here, but multifamily will use the income approach. That's where they're figuring out that NOI, that net operating income, the cash flow, right? Businesses are valued based on their cash flow, right? So what is the NOI divided by the area cap rate, which is basically the expected return for a given area capitalization rate here in Dallas-Fort Worth? You know, we're somewhere around 5, maybe 6%. So you're going to take that cash flow, divide by that NOI, divide by the cap rate. That's going to set the value. That's the income approach in a nutshell. Finally, third approach, the one that we use for valuing, or appraisers use for valuing our single family residential properties, whether buying for owner occupant or buying as a rental, they're going to use the sales comparison approach, or maybe just call it the sales approach. So that's what we're going to focus on through the balance of the show. And I want to make sure you understand some of the nuts and bolts, some of the adjustments that they're making. It's important to know. You may, if you've had any appraisals done in the recent past, if you look at those, you're going to see that on that schedule, on that appraisal. Let's go a little bit deeper now, though, because let's think about another subset of appraisals within the sales comparison subtype. Okay. I mentioned at Lifestyles Unlimited, we buy with hard money, we do our work, and then we refi on the back end. We actually use both subtypes of the sales comparison approach. There is the subject to appraisal. That's what we get done for that hard money purchase, because we're planning on doing some form of renovations, right? We've looked at the sales comps in the area to see what scope of work we need to do to match those top of the market comps. And we've put together that scope of work. We've given that to our hard money lender. He's then given that to our appraiser. And that appraisal is done subject to the work to be performed. Subject to. So they're looking into the future. If you do all the work you said you did, you're going to do, this is what the value will be. That's called after repair value in the industry, or ARV. And then your hard money lender is going to take that ARV, or that after repair value, and that's what they lend based on, 70%, 75%, 80%, whatever it is, subject to. The other type of subtype, I guess, of sales comparison approach is the as-is appraisal. And we encounter that as well. We fixed up the house, put a resident into place, and we're now doing our rate and term refinance to get out of that hard money. Well, everything's done. There is no more work to do. There is no subject to at this point. So it's just simply called an as-is appraisal. Again, that's going to be common for retail sales. My neighbor across the street just sold her house. When her buyer, who has a lender, got their appraisal done, that would have been an as-is appraisal. The house down the street is selling. Boy, they're flying off the shelves here. Hotcakes. It is a good time to sell. It's a good time to buy. It's a good time to do that cash out refi, which is what I'm doing and why I'm getting appraisal done this week. Now, when we come back, we're going to get into a couple more finer points around that appraiser, what he's doing, and then we're going to get into the average square footage and why you want to be careful with that.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and today we are focused, very focused on appraisals. I'm focused on appraisals. I've got one coming up this week, so that is certainly fresh on my mind. We are in the process of going through a cash out refi. We're going to take advantage of the very low rates, shave a couple of, this is our property with the highest interest rate on it. We'll shave a couple of percentage points off of that. And we're going to slide in there right before the Federal Housing Finance Agency kicks off that adverse market refinance fee. Look, if you're planning on investing, get it done now. If you need to do some sort of a refi, if you get it in afterwards, you know what? It's not going to kill you. Keep going, right? Just keep on going. Keep on going. It's cost of doing business at that point. But we're going to beat that. We're going to beat that to the finish line. So we are talking about appraisals, and we've talked a little bit about the types of appraisals. And for what we do with single family, we're using the sales comparison approach. And as part of the Lifestyles model, where we buy with hard money, fix up the house, and then do a rate and term refinance out of that hard money loan, we're actually using two different subtypes, I would say, of that sales approach. We're doing a subject to appraisal when we acquire the property, because we're going to be doing some work typically. And we want to know the value once that work is done. So does our hard money lender, of course, because they're going to lend us those repair funds as well. They're going to hold them back in escrow, by the way. As you do the work, you can have those released. But that's a subject to appraisal. Then when we get to the finish line, we're going to have that as-is appraisal. I love this part. I'm always a little bit nervous, you know. Lately, we've been actually coming in higher than our expected values because the market has kept creeping up. Even now. And for me, that refi appraisal, that as is appraisal on the back end, it's almost confirmation that we've done a good job. Hey, pat yourself on the back. You hit your target or even came in higher. I love that. So moving on, we're talking about the appraisal. So they're assigning a value, right? That's their main job there, is to assign a value to your property. Okay, what else are they doing? Well, in part of their process, they're going to be measuring the house. Okay, they're going to calculate the total square footage of the property, the entire footprint, the total livable square footage, including the garage, which is not part of the livable, right? And then they're going to calculate what I just said, the livable square footage. That's going to drive the value. Now, the garage, that, you know, one car, two car, that's going to drive a little bit. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But the primary piece is that livable square footage. If you go out to the tax rolls at your county for your county appraisal district, you're going to see a square footage number given there. Okay. I will tell you something an appraiser told me, I don't know, it's been years. He told me that something like 25% of the values given on the county appraisal district for that square footage of that house are wrong. They may be high, they may be low, but they're wrong. They're off to some degree. So what I did, I took the house we did last year that was actually a very good case study, and I looked at on the tax rolls, and sure enough, it's listed there at 1,220 square feet. Livable square feet. I looked at my hard money appraisal. First guy went out there. He measured the house. What did he come in at? He came in at 1,295. Boom, I just got an extra 75 square feet. Why? There's a bit of an addition that was done that clearly the county didn't have on their books. County, if you're listening, you know, I plead the fifth. But that happens a lot. I've seen that a lot. I've walked houses where there are very well done additions, and it's clear they're not on the tax rolls. I've seen the inverse happen where the addition has been done. It's not been done well. It's not ducted. It doesn't have heating and air. It would not qualify as livable square footage. And the county has taken that into account. In fact, I just finally, in this late hour, it's October, finished the protest process on a house where they had done just that. House has an addition. Great for purposes of renting, but for both the hard money and the refi appraisals, they did not count that addition in the square footage because it did not have ducted heating and air conditioning. The county, however, I guess the permit was pulled at some point, so they knew about the additional square footage and were applying that extra square footage and calculating my value. And I said, look, here's the sketch that my appraiser measured when he measured the house. See right here, livable square footage, 1,400, not the 17 and some change that you think. I showed them the refi appraisal, same thing. So it swings both ways. Now, Andy, you're thinking, why would you want to get them to lower that on the tax rolls? Isn't that going to impact you when you go to sell? Look, don't worry about the tax rolls. No impact. Your appraiser's going to go out there, they're going to measure it, they're going to do their own thing, and they're going to add some value for that addition. So it's going to wash. But ultimately, you're going to want to get those measurements because it's going to help you. I use those as well for marketing. You know, again, because a lot of the times the tax rolls are off. If you go to a leasing agent, they're going to pull that tax information, the county appraisal information, and they're going to use that square footage. Well, if they're low because you've got that addition that adds 280 square feet, make sure to let them know. There's a place in the MLS where it says source, and they can just change that from tax to appraiser, okay, and put that larger square footage in there. It's going to help you rent it better, right? It's going to help you sell it better, right? So keep that in mind. Other things that an appraiser might be doing out there, especially if you've got a Fannie Mae type loan, a FHA loan, right? They're going to be looking at the condition of the property a little more closely. You know, it's not uncommon when I go to meet the appraisers that I see them turn the water on, the hot water on at the kitchen sink or maybe the bathroom sink. They want to see that the hot water heater is working. Fannie Mae wants to know that all the appliances are working, right? They want to see that the appliances are there. They're going to take pictures of that stuff. They're going to take pictures of the smoke detectors. I thought they were crazy, but that's part of the process for them, right? It is a rental. We do have to have smoke detectors in place. So they're checking all of this stuff for us, or for their lender, but for us as well. And finally, you know, if we're talking about the lifestyles model, obviously we are buying these properties to hold as income producing properties, as rentals. Well, they're going to, as part of that refi appraisal, they won't do this on the hard money side, but on the refi end for the lender, they're going to look at the rental comps in the area, the comparable rentals, as opposed to comparable sales, and figure out what the market rent is. That's another reason why you pay a little bit more for that appraisal on the rate and term refi side, or on the cash out refi side. Okay, like I said, a couple hundred bucks at least, typically. So that's what's going on with the appraiser, appraisal types, and that sort of thing. I want to shift gears now as well and talk about something that's commonly applied, which is the average price per square foot. That's where you take the sales price and you divide it by the square footage, and you get some rate, right? And it's not uncommon, especially if you're working with wholesalers, they're going to give you some value and they're going to base it off of that average price per square foot for the area, right? Hopefully closely, hopefully not too widely spread out, but it's not a good way to approach it. If you think about the Z estimate in Zillow, I don't have privy to, you know, access to their algorithm, but it's essentially doing the same thing. And what is it missing? It's missing quite a bit. Okay, it's missing quite a bit. We'll talk about what our appraiser is doing differently that makes that appraisal a little more fine-tuned and a far better tool. And just to give you an example, again, going back to that property that I looked at, again, on the tax rolls, they had it at 1220. My hard money appraiser went through, measured it at 1,295 square feet livable space. The refi appraiser measured it at 1280. So again, we see a few, you know, some differences there, hopefully small differences, right? But so I looked at the sold comps for the hard money appraisal. There were three. They're always going to draw three. They're going to try to get those from the immediate surrounding areas. They want to try to stay as close in geography as they can and as close in time as they can. Which nowadays we're having an inventory shortage. They may have to go back a little bit farther, but typically you and they are going to try to stay within 6 months, right? 6 months of the appraisal date in terms of when those comparables sold. 6 months, and again, staying within that subdivision, trying not to cross any major highways, any major roads, any major barriers into other school districts, right? Those are the things that they're going to look at. And they're going to find three. And based on those three, they're going to come up with their value by way of making some adjustments. Now, the music's kicking on. I want to give you my example here of the risk around using that average price per square foot concrete to this example house that I've brought you today. So stay tuned. You're going to be astounded when you hear how far apart they are.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you've never had the time. This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the seven principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. That's lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and on today's show, we've been focused on the appraisal. Very key to our business when we buy, when we sell, when we do any type of refinance. And in this last segment, I want to focus on things that the appraiser is doing to arrive at their value. They're not simply taking the average price per square foot for that area. you need to be careful. A lot of wholesalers are going to use that approach. And here's the problem. It does not take into account differences in properties. And a wholesaler, by the way, there's somebody that locks up a property, gets it under contract, and then sells that contract to you. That's how we've acquired a lot of properties over the years. It's a perfectly fine way to go. But just be aware. And I wanted to give you an example with the particular house I was looking at here during the show. This is over near Fort Worth. This is a deal we did last year. And I looked across at the hard money appraisal and looked at the three comps that the appraiser used and calculated the average square foot. How did I do that? I took the sales price of property one divided by the square footage, sales price of property two, et cetera, and then took the average. In this case, it was 135 and some change. Applied that to his calculation of the square footage, 1295. I arrived at a value of $176,000. If I had gone into the deal expecting that, I might have been disappointed because guess what? The hard money appraiser came up with $162,000. There's a bit of a difference there. Now let's look at the refi. When I did the rate and term refi, this is a pretty heavy lift, so it took us a bit of time. It was a couple months before we got to the refi, got to that finish line. The good news there is that it was in the springtime. A number of houses closed, sold during that time, and that new appraiser was able to pull those down for us, which was great. But here's what we got. We got an even higher average price per square foot, $151. Quite a jump. If I apply that to his square footage, his livable square footage, the value of that house would have come in at $194,000. Here's where he landed. He landed at $175,000. That's an almost $20,000 spread. My point here is that be very, very careful because that average price per square foot does not take into account very important things like number of garage spaces, number of actual bathrooms, whole versus half. Right? Does it back to an apartment complex or a busy road? Okay, so what is the appraiser doing? Well, what they do is they start with the actual sales price, and they're going to make adjustments. They're going to get an adjusted sales price for those three properties, and that's what they then take the average of. So let's talk about some of the more common adjustments. And what I did, I just pulled up a number of appraisals from over the years and looked to see what I saw there. Very commonly, and we don't see this a lot right now. It's not a buyer's market, so we're not seeing as many seller's concessions, but there was one seller's concession. It was an FHA sale on one of my two appraisals for this house. Seller's concession was $1,000. So if the house sold for $150,000, the appraiser is going to automatically deduct $1,000 off of that. So if nothing else was different, then the new sales price is $149. Now, there are a lot of other things different. You know, square footage most commonly. Also interesting is that depending on where you are buying, different areas are going to have a different value for each additional square foot. So if you're buying in Highland Park in Dallas, that's going to be different than buying in the mid-cities in Tarrant County, than buying in Weatherford, than buying in East Texas, right? In this case, I looked at my two appraisals, and for example, the hard money lender applied $32 for each additional square foot. So in other words, if my property and the comparable number one were 100 square foot apart, he's going to multiply that by 32. That's his differential. The refi appraiser used 30. If you're buying in Highland Park, you probably have a higher number. You need to figure that out. I just look at my appraisals from each of the areas where I buy to get an idea of that number when I'm doing my own calculations prior to buying. So square footage is very important. That's probably one of the bigger players. The site, meaning the acreage. We happen to have a house that sits on about a third of an acre in an older part of town. The other houses in that area are at about 2/10 of an acre. Let me get that out. So my acreage is a little bit more highly valued. So we got an extra value. So when, again, they look at the sold comps, they add a couple thousand dollars for that extra acreage for the site. View, similar to site. Does it back to residential, meaning other homes, or does it back to traffic? Right? If it backs to traffic, they're going to discount that sale a little bit. If it backs to commercial, they're going to discount that sale a little bit. Right? Ideally, they want to find apple-to-apple comparisons, but typically that's not going to be the case. There will be slight differences, and that's where these adjustments come in. Now you can have adjustments due to the property itself, right? Due to the structure, right? Very commonly, if you're buying older properties like we often do, bathroom count comes into play, right? The house that we bought that I'm talking about here had a a half bath off the master and a full bath in the hall. So it was a 1.5 bath. If our appraiser is comparing that to a house with a single bath, just one bath, hall bath, that's all, he's going to add a couple thousand dollars. If he's comparing it to a house that has two full baths, he's going to deduct. In our case, we actually went in and added a shower to that master, created two full baths, worked out great, pier and beam house, very easy to do, added value. Helped my appraiser find better comps because of that. And where he couldn't, where there was only a single bath, like I said, they just make an adjustment. Also interesting, it is a little bit subjective. It's going to vary appraiser to appraiser, and maybe that management company has something to say there as well. But I noticed that on this same house, one appraiser used an additional $2,500 for that extra bath, whereas the refi appraiser used $3,000. Right. So it's going to vary. Same with parking. If there's a single car garage, a two car garage, or no garage has been converted, right? That's going to drive, that's a common driver of variation in or adjustments to that appraisal. Other small stuff, fireplace. Yeah, I prefer to buy houses that don't have them. I don't like them. But I've seen them valued at $500 to as much as $1,000. Even storage. Storage sheds, when I'm looking at a house, it has one, it doesn't, I don't care. But I did notice on occasion I would see a $500 hit or addition, you know, if that house had one or didn't. And finally, condition. Condition is obviously huge. And what are we doing as part of the Lifestyles model? Best product, best price. We are going in and dressing that place up. We're putting it into superb condition. And if I look back at the refi appraisal for this particular example house I'm reviewing, there was one property, sales price was $150,000. He didn't have too much, a little bit of adjustment for the gross living area, the differential in square footage, also the bath. You know, he added a couple thousand for additional half bath. But the interesting part here is the condition. I guess he did not find enough comps in the area that were of the high quality product that we put out there. So he used one that he described here as inferior and added $15,000 to the sales price. So condition, that can play in as well if you're using comps. If you're looking at buying a house and it's in an area and there's not much on the market and all that you're seeing are those houses that are dilapidated that are being sold to investors, well, you might mark that up a little bit in your head because of the work that you're going to do. The appraiser certainly will. Now, those are common adjustments that they're making. Like I said, they'll start with the sales price. They'll retool that a little bit as needed to get them to get to that apples to apples view. They'll take that adjusted sales price and then they'll average those three adjusted properties together. That's how your value gets calculated. It's a bit of a science and it's a bit of an art as well. I think it's very interesting stuff for me, but a data junkie, I guess. I like looking at this stuff. But what do you do? What do you do when you're in my shoes? You got that refi appraisal coming up this week. Do you go out there? Do you meet the guy or the gal? I've dealt with both men and women over the years. Lots of appraisals. Is that taboo? Can you go and talk to them? You can, and you absolutely should if you are in town. Right? We were just bumping around the state for a good while in our RV. If they had wanted to schedule the appraisal last week, sure, go ahead, do it. I prefer to get out there. One thing you want to be sure of 100%, make sure all of your work is done, because remember, you're getting an as-is appraisal when you're doing that rate and term refi, when you're doing that cash-out refi. It is not a subject-to appraisal at this point. So make sure all the work is done. If your general contractor tells you it's done, verify that. If you're working with one of the Lifestyles Unlimited general contractors that we have on our vendor hub, they're solid. You can trust them, ask them maybe for a couple of picks, but you know, trust but verify if you're working outside of that scope. Make sure all the work is done and then get out there. Like I said, meet the appraiser. Get there early. Make sure all the, you know, any trash that may have blown into the yard, get that up. You know, it's just curb appeal. We're just talking curb appeal. Turn on the lights in the house. Open the blinds. Make sure it looks great. And document-wise, don't be shy. Bring your hard money appraisal. I always do. I want them to see the value that that other appraiser came up with, to see the comps that that other appraiser came up with. And on that note, if you're working with a realtor and maybe you're doing this yourself, maybe you use Lifestyles Quest to run your own comps, well, bring a fresh set of more recent sold comps, the ones that speak in your favor, obviously. So part of my packet is that hard money appraisal. On top of that, I have those more recent comps that I want that appraiser to see. And then I want to make it very easy on them. I don't want them to leave and forget some of what they saw. So I have a one-pager overview of my scope of work, all the stuff that we did. Not in detail, but very upper level, all the important stuff that they're going to want to remember when they look at the other sold comps online, when they're back at their office putting their numbers together. And finally, speaking of numbers, have a number or a range in mind and name it. What value do you want? Some appraisers may ask you, some may not. So have that ready. Don't be shy. If you don't ask, you won't get it, right? Throw that number, throw that range out there. I do every time. Yeah, thank you for listening today. If you want to learn more about Lifestyles Unlimited, I want you to go check out our free workshop. Go to freeworkshoplivestream.com to get registered, to learn more. We're doing those virtually from the comfort of your home. That's freeworkshoplivestream.com. Again, this is Andy Webb. I thank you for listening. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Hey, join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.